Live, unscripted, on Spin Now with Katie.
It is that time of the week where I bring you something relatable, something inspiring. And joining me on the line as this week's special guest is the most inspiring woman I have spoke to in such a long time. Alana Sheehan, a chef from County Tipperary, is joining me. Alana, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. Wow.
I'm very
good. How are you?
I'm good. But look, women like you inspire me every single day. Your story is absolutely amazing and it will inspire so many of our listeners here this morning. I suppose I'll kick it off, Alana, by asking you to tell us a little bit about your story and why you're on this morning.
Well, I think it has something to do with... Basically, in 2020, I was diagnosed with incurable cancer. At the time, I was 32. I was just after having my daughter, Phoebe. She was just a few weeks old. And then I had a two-year-old and a four-year-old as well. And despite the odds, and despite my prognosis and everything, I'm still here, refusing to give up. I'm stubborn, and it's really, really served me well so far. Basically, I was diagnosed as well with brain cancer, and it's a rare, they say rare, rare type of brain cancer. It's called glioblastoma multiforme.
Wow.
And it's stage four. Like, it's a serious, it's a big deal.
Wow. And you just seem so positive. Like, this is why it's so inspiring. Can you tell me a little bit about the early stages when, before the diagnosis, was there any signs or symptoms that you had that made you go and get this checked out?
So basically, before diagnosis, I was like a very, very busy mother, just trying to work hard to save our house. And I suppose life was really, really stressful. I had two young children, and because I was so busy, everything was basically kind of falling apart around me. Then I had my first seizure the night of Phoebe's christening. And basically, I was asleep while it happened, and I woke up the next morning, and my husband told me what was after happening. So it presented as a seizure. That was my first one. And then I had another one a while after that, and I was very, very lucky. At the time when it happened, this was February 2020. At the time, I was after walking into my friend's sitting room, and I felt I was being pulled down to the ground. My two-year-old, my four-year-old son were there, as well as my friend's children. And I was carrying my tiny little daughter in my arms. And I didn't know what was happening. I was just been pulled down to the ground. And I tried to say help. I tried to stretch out my arms to save my daughter. But luckily enough, my friend just caught her by the baby goat, saved her. I had a really big seizure. And the ambulance was called. And a while later, her husband came back, and I was admitted to hospital. So that's how it presented first. They were kind of the most significant symptoms, I suppose. But before that as well, just as an awareness point of view, I was very, very dizzy. My ears felt like I was underwater. I just want to say that just people are having those symptoms, always get checked.
Wow. Like, already, It's scary. I can't imagine what you felt like, you know, to not know what was going on and then to go and get it checked and be diagnosed with something as big as this. Tell me a little bit about what went through your mind the first few weeks after you've been diagnosed.
Well, at the time, I basically left. I had brain surgery, and then I left the hospital. And it was actually that day that the world, a few weeks later, I got diagnosed over the phone. Nobody's fault, but it's just due to COVID. So I got told over the phone, and then the world went into lockdown, was going into lockdown that evening. So after being told, we had to go to our shopping because we didn't know what was going to happen. But basically, like, while I was on the phone, I fell to the ground. I'd been waiting for a long time to get my results back, and I had been told, you know, it was a very small chance that it was cancer. But I fell to the ground. I've never experienced anything like it. I just felt like my whole life was over. I felt, my husband came in, I felt so bad. So then I was inflicting this on everybody. I just felt, I've never, it was like I was getting stabbed in the heart. We worked so hard to get our house. We were so grateful for our beautiful family. And then just to be told this, and at the time, it was hard to get in contact with a doctor. Again, nobody's fault. It was just the circumstances. So I was left with Google, and everything that Google said actually turned out to be true.
Oh.
Because it was that bad.
Yeah.
It was that bad that Google was 100% right. But it was just so painful, because I'm such an optimistic person, and I always believe, you know, there's a solution for everything. It might take time to find it or whatever, but there was no solution to this. And the day that this whole nightmare was going to be over was the day that I would die from this cancer. And I initially thought that I had, like, in general, the median survival time of someone with GBM, this type of brain cancer, is 12 to 15 months. So I was going around with that thought in my mind. And looking at my children was too painful at times. I couldn't tuck them in. It was painful to even hold their hands, because I just couldn't stop crying for months. It was game over.
I can't imagine what it was like going through a pandemic, then going through what you were going through, and then having to look at your children. That was actually one of my next questions. How did you navigate that with your kids? I don't know if they were too small at the time to talk to them about it. Did you have to go that road?
Well, at the time, I suppose, well, Phoebe was out of the question. She was tiny. And then Luca, I have two boys. Luca was two and Finn was four. So initially we just kind of acted as normal. But then kind of a month after I had the seizure, I was going for surgery. So I knew I'd have stitches in my head. I knew that my hair was going to go anyway. I was going to have radiation and chemo. I was so worried I was going to scare them. I knew I was going to have a massive scar on my head. So I came home from hospital, and before I went for my operation, I said that there's something in my head and they're going to have to get it out. I didn't mention Seth or anything like that. I didn't think they needed to know until they know.
Yeah.
So they were aware of the operation. Then they knew I was going to get a cool laser to my head. And that I was just tired because I was sick. But then when I came home from hospital, I looked insane, because they had kind of shaved off the top half of my hair. But like the rest was still there. So I said, like, oh, these silly doctors, please help me. And then they shaved off the rest of my hair. Oh. But like, I think, you know, it's kind of a fun thing. And yeah. I couldn't cry either, which was actually good. That's how we tackled this. And luckily enough, like, I was thinking, like, we're going to have to get them into counselling, you know, before I die. But luckily enough, it never came to that. Thank God.
Oh, my God. I feel a little bit choked up even listening to your strength. Alana, tell us how we are a couple of years on from your diagnosis.
Yeah.
What happened in those couple of years? You know, you're so, so lucky.
I am so, like, so, so, so beyond lucky. And I really think, like, number one, I work my ass off, like, looking after myself. I am a chef, was a chef, whatever you want to say. So my first port of call was, I've always been a chef. I've always loved food. And I've always had that interest, but I never looked at food as medicine or as a way to heal yourself. So I suppose I started learning about that Then I started drinking green juice, which I swear by. And I started drinking the juice. And then after even 4 days, my mindset just shifted, because for the first time in so long, I felt good again. So I knew that the juice was working. I fully believed in it. So that really, like, that was just an overnight shift in mindset. I felt like, oh, I can do this. And then the more I learned about food and, like, mindset, saying daily affirmations, I just boosted my mindset. I've really been working so hard on my mindset, working every single day on my diet, everything I put into my body. You know, even the company I keep, what I listen to, all of those things. Like, I just help myself in every way possible. And that's how I am as good as I am today.
I love that.
But like I have my bad days as well, obviously.
As everyone does. You can't live life without the bad days. But the bad days set us up for the good ones.
Exactly, yeah. 100%.
You recently launched a website featuring recipes and wellness cards. What inspired you to create this?
So I think I'm such a busy girl. I always like to be on the go doing something. So even, I say, since I got diagnosed, like, I've always been a hard worker before that. And then when I initially got sick, I was forced to stop. And I stopped. And, like, I have gave my family, I'm still giving my family everything I have. But I suppose, like, kind of the last 6 months, I have acted on wanting to do more for myself. I've always been a big dreamer. I'm really motivated. So I still have lots of things I want to do, but I have shared lots of food recipes and juice recipes through my Instagram account. And then from that, I've kind of known that there's a market. I want to do a book, and I will get a book done, but I have no patience. So I have two very clever cousins that work with me, and came up with the idea of sharing a monthly subscription. So the subscription is really well balanced food and drink recipes, all vegan, really, really healthy. And it's a great deal because I want as many people to be able to access it as possible. So I started that, and I really feel like I have my dream job.
I love that.
You know, I'm helping people. I'm being creative. I'm eating well. It ticks all the boxes for me.
Well, I'm so happy that you found something that you are so passionate about. You, of course, share your story openly over on your Instagram page. Where can people go and follow your journey? And where can people head to your website?
You can follow my account on Instagram. It's @worth_fighting4, the number 4. And my website is alanasheehan.com.
Amazing. We have tagged you over on Spin's Insta as well. So if you want to go over and click on that to follow Alana's amazing story. Before we finish up, Alana, for anyone that's listening who may be facing a difficult diagnose or supporting a loved one through a diagnose, what advice or words of encouragement would you share with them?
I would say, number one, that is so tricky at times. I am happy I am the one with cancer, because I would be so awkward. But I would say all you can do is offer help. And like, don't worry about, you know, big, significant things. At times, it's just give someone a hug. Just, you know, just be an ear for someone. It's always the simple things. Like, I remember the greatest thing I think that anyone done for me and my family while we were going through that was my auntie and uncle. They made us dinners. Like, so something so simple. They made us dinners, and it was like the greatest gift that I didn't have to worry about my family eating. So, you know, it's always the simple things, how you can help someone. And everything is temporary. Everything, like, even for me, my situation hasn't changed, but I look at it, I feel so much better. I'm happy now. So everything is temporary. Feelings are temporary, and things do change, even though you mightn't feel like they're never going to get better.
That's a beautiful piece of advice. Alana, I knew there was a reason I picked you to have you on today for International Women's Day. You're amazing and keep on inspiring and keep on living your best life. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Spin Now today.
Oh, thank you so much. So lovely to talk to you. Honestly, thank you. That was just lovely.